Wonderful.
So I'm Kunal. This is Yash, and this is Aaron. Hello, right?
KYA.
I am not very much familiar with what you do. I have never been to your shows. All I know is from Instagram. So I know you are a storyteller. But how would you define, like, you know, we generally ask this question to all the artists that come to our podcast. We ask them because artists these days, they work in spectrums of areas. They are not primarily doing one thing, but they are into many areas. So how do you define yourself?
So I work in the space of storytelling and drama. Storytelling is what I perform as a specialized form of theatre. And I work with drama and theatre when I work with workshops. So I perform stories. And the stories that I perform and research and work on are based in heritage, ecology and folk. So India being a vast country with all these are three elements of the stories that I work on.
So you know, if you work with heritage, I mean, I've seen this problem nowadays, especially more. If you want to pick some story from the heritage, especially what is now being termed as the Hindu culture, it will be very, very sensitive. People will be very, very sensitive to that issue. And if you do an interpretation of this a story, which is not very widely known, it will be sort of taken as a thing that hurts religious sentiments. So how do you deal with that?
So there's a very vast difference between heritage and history. And like your history and my history can be same, but your heritage and my heritage may not be the same. And that's the beauty of it. We can live in the same street and have the same history, but heritage comes from multiple viewpoints. Our heritage comes from language viewpoint, comes from culture viewpoint, comes from parenting lineage, from where parents have traveled, and so on and so forth. And as far as there is some context of practice that's happening, that's where I draw the line. It can't be only from a book. It has to be from some source of practice, both from oral practice, performance practice. Like, for example, if you look at Mahabharata as a heritage of India, the Mahabharata that's performed in Tamil Nadu is very different to Mahabharata performed in Bengal. And that's where. So I'm as a heritage, where do I connect to would be different, but do I have a source of it? Do I have a connection to it? And the beauty of, I'm not a historian, so in that way, as far as I have a source, I give it to it and let people interpret.
So is there any problem with connect? Because you are saying the heritage is different and there are different perspectives. So when you are performing a story per se, you find that people will not connect here, or people might connect more some places. Or like, do you normally find that problem?
So that's the beauty of, when you look at storifying heritage and folklore, is that if I'm talking about some story, let's say from Australia, I don't have a connect, audience doesn't have a connect. But a lot of times in which, even in Ahmedabad when I performed, I realized that a lot of times we children and adults also, we know so much about somebody else's history. But if I have to look at even what is in Ahmedabad, look at the origin story of Ahmedabad, or even a simple thing like Manik Chowk, what is the historical or heritage thing in Manik Chowk, a lot of us don't have an idea of. That one moment I start working on that, that's interesting for the audience. So the beauty of heritage is the audience is also connected to it. It's not somebody else's story I'm coming and telling you. It's your own story or my own story which is connected that you're talking about. And that is interesting.
Do you think that stories, like, do you think folklore is very, very fragile? Because it's all oral storytelling, right? So it might change from person to person and people might add their own. It's like Chinese whispers correctly. But like, what do you think? Like, does the fragility of it, like, you know, have any hindrance on the originality of any story?
What is original?
Yeah.
So the beauty of folk is it is as fragile and it need not be carried over. I mean, if it has to break, let it break. And if it, not everything has to be carried over, not everything has to be not carried over. That which will be carried over will be carried over. That which need to be broken can be broken. And that's why folk has its own boundaryless boundary.
But when you are telling folk stories, do you personally fictionalize it or add your bits, or do you just say what you have already?
So again, so the beauty of, again, the thing is, there will, so the beauty of art is there will be an interpretation.
Yeah. yes.
There can't be an artist who is unbiased or who's completely blank. The moment I open my mouth, my opinion will come out. So which means that the truest form I can be it is to find the source and find it in my voice. And my voice will only come with my experience. And that is why it's easy to sing. But to become a singer that's heard, you need practice.
Mm-hmm.
So which means the story in when it comes to my voice will have my that's when the experience of the teller will come into the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, you know, you talked about interpretation. I'm just curious, that's why I'm asking. Like when you are performing a story, unless there's an ambiguous end to your story, there is no room for interpretation as such, right? Like the audience hears what you are saying them, and that's the only truth. Not truth, but that's the only part of that art that you are performing, right? Like there's no interpretation as such, right?
So one is, the idea is one is watching something, one is having a conversation. I mean, a lot of time watching, so in India, it's always been conversation.
Mm.
And that's and unfortunately, a lot of times, even in school, we've been not to have an engagement with what we watch. You watch and you go away. But no,
yeah.
Every art is interpreted. For example, let's say the imagery that we have of a certain deity, that it's only because of some artist's interpretation on a painting. That we have never questioned. I mean,
yes.
200 years back, if you look at the same deity, the deity wouldn't be having six packs or shoulders, and that will look different.
Yes.
So artists. Interpretation is always what public, and for example, the shirt, a t-shirt you're wearing, is also some artist's interpretation of how a t-shirt should look.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So art doesn't have to lie in a certain way. Any aesthetic that come on that we consume is art, oral or visual.
More about stories shaping our reality. I wanted to ask. I've seen people who link mythology and folklore with actual history. There are many people who think that it has historical evidence and it is true. What do you think about that?
So there are three things to it. For example, let's look at the Mahabharata Ramayana. There is a certain, the beauty of India is our stories are continuous. So there is itihas, which is, it happened.
Yeah.
So for example, you've seen the new movie called Ponniyin Selvan, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Maniratna movie. For somebody in Gujarat, Ponniyin Selvan is mythology for some.
Yes.
But for some culture, for us, like in Tamil Nadu, it happened.
Yeah, exactly.
So which means the same text becomes itihas for some people, becomes mythology. Unfortunately, the word English word, the Greek word myth has multiple connotations.
Uh-huh.
I'm leaving that out.
Mm.
As far as there is deification, it becomes mythology. That's my definition.
Mm.
When there is deification in the characters, it becomes mythology.
Mm.
And folk doesn't need to be deified.
Mm.
In folk, so there is another genre called folk myth.
Got it.
Where the same story, when it comes into oral narrative, has certain interpretation.
Mm.
And every community has different interpretation of the Mahabharata, where Mahabharata is also looked at itihas, Purana in some places.
Yes.
In other places, it will be looked at as a folk myth.
Mm.
Some other places, it's myth.
Mm.
A simple example is Duryodhana, for all that the stories are, there is a temple for Duryodhana in Kerala. So that for somebody is itihas because it happened there, that's why the temple came. For somebody is just a myth.
Mm-hmm.
So your myth might be my itihas could be your myth, and that's how it is. And today, because we all travel a lot and we consume multiple cultures,
yes.
there is an intermediary.
So you work with storytelling mainly. So what is the specific trait of storytelling which is what you want to give to the audience with that particular art form?
A lot of it. So one is, even the three of it, like I said, ecology, folklore and heritage. A lot of us don't know our ecology at all. More than 5-6 birds, how many of us can name around us? How many animals we can name? And a country like India is deep rooted in ecology.
Mm.
And for us, ecology is an inspiration for design, is an inspiration. Is my question would be like, who came first, the deities or the ecology?
Mm.
We go into larger, deeper pockets of India, the animals and birds are sustaining the thing. And today's generation, we are moving into where our ecology is not. We have 60% of the world's flora, fauna.
Yeah.
And these have been given to us through stories.
Mm-hmm.
The third largest epic after the Mahabharata, Ramayana would be the Panchatantra.
Mm-hmm.
The Panchatantra has traveled across the world from here to Europe to America. To an extent, even Tom and Jerry could be inspired from Panchatantra.
Yes.
And that itself, I mean, and moment you connect to nature, it's a stronger mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I come from, saying that our stories are not about entertainment. There's a lot more inner journey to it. And the inner journey can lead from spiritual to philosophy to entertainment, of course. But one story leads to multiple journeys. And that we moved away from. Because our consumption of stories has also been in a very different domain. And to so much that we don't, our own story from the backyard, we thought it, it's not cool. It is cool if you make it cool.
Make it cool.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Also, in the word ecology, there are a lot of stories which are not directly into ecology, because a lot of our gods are like, you know, manifestations of different natural elements.
Yes.
Like Indra, you associate with rain and thunder. Yes. So if you look at stories about those gods, and if you find a sort of interpretation for that, you can also derive it to ecology.
There's ecology everywhere, mm-hmm. even from the Dashavatar, you go it, and every deity will have a flora, fauna around them.
Mm-hmm.
You go into the each of the Puranas and look at everybody, they will have one. There, even Sheetala Devi will have donkey, and there's no upper lower animal in that. Every animal is equal, everybody is equal, but humans have made it upper and lower.
But also, we also give, you know, personalities to certain animals and certain elements as well. Like, you know, to thunder, we give it aggressiveness and sort of like that. That is what I see a lot in the stories.
Lovely.
We give a lot of rich personalities to him.
And the richness helps from a childhood to be strong in both an emotion.
Exactly.
In terms of, but we slowly, that's been taken away from a lot of children. That's why that's when certainly becomes an element to connect, tell to ourselves. Because today I could be a rat, tomorrow I could be a tiger, and all the animals are within me. And as you grow up, you realize that okay, there is another element and the thing, and that's the beauty of it.
And you know, when you are performing a story, you of course want to entertain the audience, right? I'm asking, like, are there political traces to your stories, and do you try to be politically correct, or, you know, politically satisfy yourself that you don't want to, you know, justify something some other way?
You are representing yourself.
So coming to that again, I mean, that's just like how art is biased. Art will be political.
Yes.
I mean, moment I'm going, anybody who's talking there, it's any sort of communication is political.
Yes.
So, not in the terms we define politics.
Yeah.
Politics is different.
Okay.
But any expression that humans make is going to be in a certain tone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't take that. I mean, if not, I could be sitting at home, you could be sitting at home. The moment we come together, you will have to lose yourself, because only then you will listen to somebody.
Mm.
And in that process, there is going to be communication, and communication leads to a certain societal structure.
Mm-hmm.
And in the larger realm, that what makes all of us into a society. That's how a society is built. And agreeing to disagree is the beautiful trait of a society.
Yeah.
And that's where it is. I mean, we can come together, I put in a viewpoint, you put a viewpoint, and it's okay to disagree. Why should I believe in you? Why should you believe in me? But we can still survive, and that's where art is. I'm saying, what is good art? What is bad art? Same me. There is nothing. It's what you consume, what you don't, what you don't consume, somebody else is consuming. We might go and say that, oh, this shirt, who's going to even choose it? That's a buck. But somebody else can just come and pick it up and go. That's how it is. So moment, even as an audience, I'm saying that, why should all audience like me?
Mm-hmm.
There will be somebody who will say, wow, somebody will say, this doesn't suit me. Which means that space should get multiple artists.
Mm-hmm.
Which means storytelling should have multiple people, theatre should have multiple people, and audience also. Moment an audience watches only one certain type of art and artist, that also is getting skewed.
Yeah.
So
people should have choices to do whatever.
People
like.
People should choose to have multiple choices to view.
Right.
I mean, that's you should fill yourself with multiple choices.
Yeah.
Moment you're filling yourself with one, let's say one particular fruit, juice, your body is going to same thing what happens to your body.
Yeah.
It can be good in one glass, but too much of anything is also
homogeneity is very bad for, you know, like our energy.
Yeah.
There is a lot of people are saying that like art forms like theater are dying and all that. So I don't see it dying, but what do you see? Like, do you think theater is dying?
the spectrum of art is increasing. No, like we're saying, reading is reduced. Right. Reading is not reduced. Reading is increased. The mediums of reading is increased. From instead of paper, now we move into podcast. You're going into so podcast is not about reading. It's about consumption.
Yes.
Even consuming is a type of reading. So instead of one person reading, one person listening. And similarly, theater. Let's say it was X. The mediums of theater is increased. Today, let's say web series is a form of theater.
Yeah.
Which didn't exist about 30 years back. So cinema is a thing. So you will always have it, and you'll have other mediums coming out of it. Going back to the base is where it is. And there will be the base, there will be the thing. Same thing with storytelling. I can do raw storytelling, or you can have different mediums. So all of it comes back. The theater as a raw form will always be there. I mean, you can't, I mean, it's like saying that how much ever you have milkshake, you'll still have to drink water, right?
Exactly.
So you'll drink water, you will drink milkshake, you will drink falooda, you'll drink everything. And also come back to water.
You just can't be too rigid about it.
So we like plain vanilla. We'll come back to that. I mean, that is a, because that's an ingrained part of human, which is communication without any gadget. How much ever we have gadget, how much ever we in WhatsApp, we say, hey, WhatsApp, one hug is what we need.
Also, you talked about reading and consumption. You know, I really like that idea because I've seen this around me as well. Mothers and many people, like, they just force their kids or their friends to read because their brain, like, they've been forced to think reading is a great activity and it should be done by everyone. They don't know why. They are not necessarily, you know, aware with the idea of consumption. They just want to do it because they know me, achha, if I read, I'll be a good person. I'll be good. Salman Rushdie, in one of his essay wale compilation mein book mein, he has also talked about why one should read and why reading happens. I necessarily disagree with that, but I think you should only read if you enjoy the idea of reading.
It's about, it's not about reading, it's about what you're reading and why you're reading.
Yeah.
If, for example, I, let's say, I'm a fan of cooking. Then I will read about something on cooking. So reading and writing is a medium.
Yes.
So the problem is we've hooked onto the medium and forgot the emotion of it.
Yes.
So moment I, even if example they say one of the great ways to write is pick a paper that you like to smell. Choose a pen that you like to write and then you will write.
Yeah.
The problem today is unfortunately everybody is a writer. Without the process of thinking, reading and writing is an output. It can also become garbage. So instead of reading everything, choose things that you like to consume yourself. Which means if I like, let's say, football, I can consume football by watching. I can consume football by listening to interviews of players as well as read about their biographies. In that, the reading will come. Moment I'm saying I'm going to read, then I will read football, I will read everything, and I get, and it also, again, it's one, it's homogeneous, whatever the word is. One medium of consumption.
Yeah.
And filling yourself with multiple mediums, of, and not every, so example, out of 100, 20 will love reading, 20 will love listening, 20 will love this, many mediums of consumption. So what we can't do is only reading, or a reading child to go and do everything else. So fill with, so we've always been a rainbow culture. And that's where I say rainbow. Sensory. Unfortunately, today we only consume by reading and listening. I would say even watching, just going and smelling is literature. We've lost the art of literature through smell. There's a lot more sensorial. So we say literature is reading and writing. In India, literature is not reading and writing. Singing is literature. Dancing is literature.
Yeah.
Silence is literature. So literature as a concept is only looked at language. There is a literature without language in India.
Yeah.
Lullaby is a little bit.
Yeah.
You move into the moment you that, then they also gives upper and lower, right?
Yeah. That too. That plays a role.
Yes. There's a lot of literature in India which is just silent. What, for example, if you go to any of the, let's say, Drupad music, with one alap, they will, isn't that literature? And Garba, isn't that literature?
Is there an end result in your mind when you're performing the story? Like, you want something. What do you want out of it? Or is it just for the sake of, because you like storytelling?
So for me, it's an ikigai, it's a Japanese principle where for me, over time, this is my meditation, this is my survival now, this is my consciousness. And I know that many people have said that it's not easy to attain that. For me, it's happened. I studied something else, I studied all that put together today. This is for me, it's like I'm traveling, father's vacation is traveling, but I'm traveling. Father's reading is hobby. For me, I read because I love to give me content. Or I go to play, like I was yesterday, I was at a museum, I was sitting there. It gives me a lot of content to experience this world. And when I put it up, I also know that what happens is I want children to laugh and adults to unbalance. When you say adults, I mean anybody above, I mean teens and all. But a lot of times we have been filling with lots of unbaggage, not only emotions, one is emotions, one is our own experiences, one is a lot of things. But a childhood without laughter, a lot of adults, it's a lot of baggage. And that comes out through this form for me, and that's, I see it happening. And I'm only a storyteller. I'm run away from that. And what if a lot of them have said that that's so much to them, and how people have gone through it is their job. So because children today or any time, laughter is a great thing because you don't leave a lot of baggage for the next day. Our memories of memories that we carry can't have a lot of scars, and one way is laughter. And for me, that's it. Adults should laugh, and more than that, there's a lot of things because we start leaving a lot of garbage in this world. When I say garbage, it's not physical garbage. It could be emotional garbage. It could be what we do to other people in this world. As much as others hurt us, we're also hurting others.
Yeah.
So that consciousness is something that somewhere for me, I mean, in the stories I say, and these have been told already.
Ah.
And all the stories are in the country. It's today, it's like old wine in a new bottle, but you need it to happen because the beauty is all that has been said in this world has been said. All that has to be designed in the world has been designed.
Yeah.
Is there a better design than the human body?
Mm.
So how much ever we tried creating new thing, the best has been done. Because as much as we'll go away from it, we'll come back to it at one point. And that for adults, a lot of time we travel so much to discover that what we're searching is actually in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I ask this because, you know, like post geotechnical, like I've seen people on internet, they have all gathered up this vanity where everyone is a writer, everyone is a storyteller, and I don't mind it. It's a great thing that this art is also flourishing, but somewhere it might be a selfish reason. Somewhere I just hate that everyone that I meet is now becoming a writer, or everyone that I meet is becoming a storyteller. Somewhere I like that, but somewhere it also feels a tad bit cringe to me. Why? So I'm just figuring out what the whole idea was.
So the word storytelling is also very broad. I mean, what I do is performance storytelling.
Yeah.
And because the same moment I say yoga,
yeah,
there's a certain vanity to it, right?
Yeah.
Moment I say I do Selambattam, you want to know what it is. So that is where the English language is. In India, like somebody once asked a painter, when did you start painting? And the painter replied, when did I stop painting? And when we are children, we would have been a storyteller, we would have been expressing, we would have been dancing, we would have been singing. I believe is each one of us should have an art form, and we should have a sports, one for the physical body, one for the mental body. A lot of time, because we've been told to make it a profession, we stop at it from one point of time. But if we can carry that, anybody can dance. It's just that what makes it professional is one level. Anybody can become a storyteller.
Yes.
What makes people pay you for it?
Mm.
Anybody can become a writer.
Yes.
What makes people pay you? The next question you have to ask them is saying that they get paid for what you do. Anybody can sing. I'm sure you know a lot of beautiful singers who can sing better than professional singers.
Yes.
Like, what does it mean? What does it make you to have a riyaz, to live it day by day, and impact you? And that will take time. That, because of the current generation, we have a lot of exposure to technology to put out the work. We are filling it with so much of work. But what will stand is a test of time. Give it. Look at the same people 3 years later, 4 years later, 10 years later, and gratification is simple. The moment I'm sure that I'm sure in social media, you remove your shirt or you remove your dress and pose, you'll get many likes. Is that the measurement? Are you measuring from the physical identity of the person or the inner? The inner is lifelong. The outer is short-lived, and that's where. And what is the writing about? Content, I can say, I walk on the road, I slipped and I fell. I can write a poetry, done. what is the difference to become a Khalil Gibran or a, anybody? Everybody, if you look at their poetry, you look all simple, but it's not about simplicity. It's about how they made a very complex thing simple, and how over time, and how many people have connected to that, how many people, how do you keep digging it again and again? And that's what you need to ask the person who says that, do you get paid for it? Or do you, how many people, how many times do you do it full time? I can be doing morning, I can say I'm doing storytelling. I mean, I've done that many years, but to surrender, to do it full time, that means guts.
Yeah, that devotion.
I think digital space is becoming more and more intrinsic part of our lives these days. Do you not think so?
You know what Maslow's hierarchy is?
Yes.
Yes.
So now digital is, Wi-Fi is a part of your basic life.
Yes.
Like electricity, yes. One way that you need to judge your friendship or your relationship with anybody is cut off the Wi-Fi and sit in a space for half an hour and see what happens.
Yeah.
So digital is going to be to embrace it, and like anything else. Where one part of life, didn't we not wear dress at all? And when we wore the first dress, wasn't that a technology that we embraced? Technology and digital doesn't mean it's very modern.
Yeah.
We've always had technology.
Yeah.
When we traveled, at one point of time, spent sending by pigeons was technology.
Yeah.
Sending letters was, writing was a technology. You imagine writing at one point of time was not easy for everybody, right? Carrying a pen with you, carrying an ink with you and all is not easy. And today digital is becoming. How much we go away and how do we come back to the human? So today I'm saying one of the things is basic thing is dress. How much of, and imagine now it's become part of us, right? I mean, like imagine a time our grandparents wouldn't even wore a slipper, and today slipper is becoming, like mask was a thing, or it didn't become, but it was becoming a part of a dress.
Yes.
And many things, like for example, today you say boxers, right? Boxers in one generation back for grandparents was the undergarment. So the nomenclature also is changing. And but technology again for me is not only digital, it is anything that comes into our life to make it more lazy. And easy.
Yeah.
Like if you, I mean, which animal or bird even wears a dress? So that is where I come from question thing. That is the benchmark to say, can we move into that naturalism, which you can still see in this generation. Like today, I'm sure a lot of us don't even see the animals that our parents saw, or the birds we saw. Now look at this tree. In any design class, will this be perfectly designed?
No.
But this is natural. We are not supposed to be aesthetically perfect.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be dressed fantastically. We will have our curves, we will have our thing. We use technology to bring it into that thing. Saying that we want to put out a certain thing of us. But who are we inside? That is where it comes to. And that raw, the most difficult thing and the easiest thing is to be ourselves.
Yeah. That also changes, right? Who we are on social media and who we are.
So it's the most difficult thing and the easiest thing is to be us. And to be, and the easiest thing will take 99% of our life, we'll be trying to do that. And it's actually very easy.
Yes.
It's the most easiest. And if you see an artist, for example, other question, how are they on the artist mode and the person mode? Well, if you see an artist on stage in one personality, on when they're the writer mode is one personality and then they are different personality, then they will have to go to a therapist. That's right. But if you can bring in your personality into all your mediums in the same wavelength, then there will be a decorum in your inner well.
It becomes effortless.
It becomes effortless and it's seamless. I mean, that's the easiest thing to do, but that's difficult for a lot of us. And then you don't hurt yourself. The idea is, end of the thing, what do you hurt? The digital thing is saying that you're hurt, so you open another Instagram profile.
Yeah.
How much can you keep getting hurt? Instead of that, just walk, just go out and walk.
But I like that idea that it's, you know, we have to just embrace it, because it is also, if you think like that, it's also natural. Because Instagram and everything, like Harari said that if anything is possible, it is natural. So I believe that this thing, that the nature being orderly is a false notion in my mind. Nature was always, as you said, we cannot replicate this thing exactly. Nature was never about order. It was never about homogeneity. It was never about being the same. So I do agree with that.
So like I've had, I mean, for example, I'm sure you know people who have very structured, aesthetic Instagram profile.
Yes.
Mine is unstructured. And that part, some people love it, saying that there's no structure to it. Beautiful. Structure gives in a certain thing.
Uh-huh.
But structure is required when you teach, when you have to give it to the world. But you don't have to teach the world. To live, you don't need a structure. I mean, again, what is structure? That's a larger question.
Yeah.
Whose structure are we living? Because waking up at 6 o'clock is somebody's structure. Same city, somebody else waking up at 9 o'clock will be another structure.
Mm.
Depends on which house you live in. Let's say.
Mm.
Like, or you went to schools, right? Each school has its own
thing. So yeah, I guess we should end it here.
Lovely.
We really love talking with you.
Pleasure, all the best.
Yeah.
Same here. It didn't look like I experienced.
Yes. The heat is a bit, you know. But
it's better now. The thing with heat is, that's why I say heat is, it is your city, right? next 10 years, you're going to say that in 2023 was so cool, yeah. 2023 is so hot. But actually, the city of the center, you don't get.
We'll get used to it.
Yeah,
the problem really is we are breaking ourselves off.
Exactly. So I say, first you sit down. It's okay to sweat, no?
Yeah, it's okay.
What is wrong in sweating? I mean, this thing of running
sweating
away.
Sweating is the most inherently human thing. If we
say
it,
all this, we run away from that.
Exactly. We
it's
still
hard
don't
to find
like
comfort
it.
In that.
It's hard to find comfort in that.
It is hard to find comfort then
because
very
we haven't sweat a lot.
Yes.
Also because like we are
start
used
wearing,
to.
Just remove your
AC.
Chappal, wear a dhoti.
I like what you are wearing.
You won't feel and it will feel breezy. So
yeah.
Idea
yeah,
the Gandhi and handloom is not
I
political.
Agree, yeah.
We made it political. It's Gujarat friendly, that's all.
Mm,
you
yeah.
can't buy that in Kashmir.
Exactly.
In Kashmir you have to wear bloody triple A now. So it is ventilation again is design. Look at dressing as a design for climate.
Yeah.
Looking
we
at
find the most, you know, the most thing, the most working thing.
Yeah.
The most
like,
efficient thing.
What do you study?
I study psychology.
So look at psychology even from a way of how t-shirts were designed. These t-shirts didn't exist 200 years back.
Mm,
and 50
exactly.
and 70 years back there was no men and women t-shirt. Can men and women wear same dress we used to wear?
Yeah, exactly.
One piece of sari or what we call dhoti is what women wore a sari, men wore a dhoti.
Exactly.
From the psychology of many things, if you start looking at our idea of preaching, our idea of what do you call forming structures.
Mm.
Forming structure is a great psychology. Right? I mean, idea of colors, for example.
Yeah.
Mm.
If you look at green, which religion is it on record?
It should be.
No. No, even that is branding.
Yeah.
Right? Looking at colors
it is, you know, very hard into us right now.
So that's the power of psychology. I mean, psychology, and where it comes from? If you have a house that's only built with red color,
yeah,
then you grow up in a red environment.
Yeah. Exactly.
So looking at maybe that, yeah.
Colors start to mean things in your mind.
Anything. I mean, I'll give a name. What's your favorite color?
I like pink and blue.
Mm. Oh, trying to be gender neutral. I'm
looking. No. I like pink and blue very much.
Blue.
Green.
So, what is the most common color in the world?
It is blue. Sky.
Mm. But guys aren't blue all the time. Look up.
Ah, yeah. It is white and...
What's the most common color? What color is your skin?
Brown.
Brown.
What color is a tree?
Because a tree.
Brown.
Have you ever learned trees brown in color?
Yeah. It's
what color is soil?
It's
so
soil
which
is
more
brown,
common?
But it is not always brown. It is,
where is it not brown?
It is black soil, red
brown
soil.
That is also a tint of brown. Extreme
yeah,
of brown.
Is, yeah.
So,
yes,
so which is
the,
which is more? Soil brown or the sky blue? Which is more?
Soil.
So you see what is more common, we don't even say that.
Yeah. We don't have the, you know, the first instinct.
Where do you see
in our
pink
mind.
In this world at all?
We see very rarely. We see it occurring naturally, we see it very rarely.
No, I'm talking to a psychologist. I mean, when you study psychology, you take it and go. I'm a storyteller.
Yeah.
My only thing is triggering.
I'm not a
psychologist. I trigger and people say it's like therapy. I'm not a therapist.
Ah, yeah. But still, it gives a sort of catharsis to people. Right?
So look at it. Many things is people's expression, people dressing. And for example, I love to dress. Who's made you dress that? Did you choose to dress that or somebody told you? Where is the inspiration coming from?
Yeah.
A child will actually, if you go ask a child, will be okay not to dress at all.
Hmm.
Even a natural thing at home. Will you wear this dress at home?
No.
Will you wear this dress at home?
He would.
I
have seen
while
him
while sleeping.
No,
yeah.
While sleeping.
So there is a certain norm of dressing at certain times.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Who dictates that? Why do we dictate? Again, go back. Which animal dresses before sleep? So a lot of things with psychology that you'll have to compare with the animal world and the human world to see how we are moved away
yeah,
from.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And the moment we sleep without dress, trust me, that sleep is heaven.
Yeah. It is great.
It
really
comes down to comfort only. Yeah.
Comfort,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, that even the idea of cold, I mean, this the blanket. Animals find their own way. Go under a tree in winter.
Mm.
A tree is, you know what tree does in winter? It increases the base temperature. Have you gone under shade in winter? You'll see the difference. Summer, it cools you down. Winter, it do the other thing. No? So there is a certain
yeah.
way to look at, like, yeah, many things are there.
But right. they're divided, you know, actually, bonds from the thing that we evolve our software every single day and the hardware stays the same. Since
and
like
our evolution
of like
software
like a,
is, let's say...
Like a culture and all.
No. So, I want,
okay.
So, for example, 1950s to 19... You know the floppy disk have you guys
yes,
seen?
Yes.
Is it there now?
I still have it, but it's not there.
You still have it.
I also
my dad
keep
used
it.
To own a cyber cafe.
Keep it. It'll be worth a million. It'll be worth a million in some time.
Nice.
So, from floppy disk to CD drive, how many years did it take?
Not that much, but yeah.
From computers to floppy disk?
It only took like 10 years.
So, from there to now, do we even have a CD drive in our laptop?
No.
So the amount of software update is becoming shrinking, but the hardware is not getting updated.
Yeah.
Exactly. Human body is still craving for the same thing?
Same thing.
Do we crave anything different to our forefathers?
No.
How much ever you eat burgers and pasta, after 3 days you still crave for the rajma chawal?
Yeah, exactly. But
that's
right. even you know, breaking that down to simple things, we still crave, you know, there are the basic things that we still crave, like food and shelter, everything that's still necessary to us, and that will be stay necessary. But as you said, things will add on to it.
So the software update versus the hardware update, there is a mismatch.
There is a lot of
and mismatch. That's what leads to psychological
exactly.
and physical diseases. So physical disease, emotional diseases is not because of even life, it's a lot of emotional issues, and that is because of the software update. Like, for example, if how many of your friends are irritated because they don't have... again, after Insta, I don't know what is the next one. Is there anything else after Insta?
Snapchat?
How many of you are active on Snapchat?
I am not. I have deleted it.
Sort of.
Both of you
have a profile.
I have told them to delete it, but...
Why are you bothered about them?
I don't know. They're just my friends and I miss out because of them. I want to start it. The problem is I'm selfish because I tell them.
But what do you use it? The idea is not to have it or not have it.
No, I get his point about its function. He says that its function is that it acts as a catalog for whatever you
it's
did.
It's for archival.
It's for archival purposes. You can go on there. You can see exactly what
it
is.
Shows me what I was doing 1 year back, 2 year back.
Exactly, and that it shows you and it
do. It's amusing. It's not that important, but it just amazes.
As far as doesn't
it's
hurt
a,
you, it's okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't show you your ex boyfriend girlfriend, it is okay.
But even if you see that I don't think that I don't consider that as hurting. So.
Again, depends. I'm saying that the idea is not, you can be in whatever you want. But the question is, in 24 hours, the hardware is not still tuned to consume anything.
I agree.
Then you, to watch all the movies on Netflix, you need at least 3-4 births. So, that's where the issue is. And that's when choice comes in. Because in 24 hours, what is your choice and what do you want you to be filled with? So much that you say that, I think I wasted my time on this.
That's
the worst
thing.
That is going to happen. So choose before you consume, so that you don't, because that's the only time you have. Because let's say in 1970s, Papa Mama have to watch how many Bollywood movies? Let's say till then about 600 Bollywood movies were there. They would have watched it.
Yes.
Then 1990s, then Shah Rukh Khan, everything that also we watched. Today, can anybody consume that and today's consumption together?
No.
So which means we've already one image is going to get erased. So that is the way.
But
you still can choose to watch, let's say Rishi Kapoor or Raj Kapoor, and watch. That is very important.
But the notion, you know, there is this thing that I am born into the wrong generation.
People say that a lot today.
As if somebody asked you in your birth, knocked your mother's coming
exactly.
And said, you want to come out, do you want to speak inside or not?
Yeah, but a lot of people say that oh my god, the art in that generation was so good.
Leave your dream.
What?
Jain.
No, I'm not.
There's a beautiful thing in Jainism which says you're born in this world. That's only truth.